Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. I'm Grace Hayden, and now some athletes, they grow into the spotlight and some are born with it built into their name. Yuvraj Samra was named after one of cricket's most explosive icons, and at just 19 years old, he's already carving a legacy of his own. From a record-breaking 15-ball 50 in a T20 World Cup century against New Zealand, this Canadian left-hander isn't just living up to expectations, he's rewriting them. So today we talk fearless batting, family sacrifices, franchise dreams, and what it's like chasing greatness before you've even turned 20. Game on. Yuvraj, welcome to Game On with Grace. So happy to have you on board. Oh my goodness, what an amazing last month you've just had in the cricketing world. Tell me how you're feeling.
It just feels amazing. It's like a dream come true. Like every youngster dreams about playing in a World Cup and especially performing in a World Cup. And that too, being in India, especially if my family being from India, it was like a really big thing. And especially being from Canada, being an associate cricketer, scoring 100 in the World Cup just means a lot to me and my family. And it was like a dream come true.
Let's talk about that 100 in the World Cup, 110 against a very strong New Zealand. They ended up making it right up into the finals, but lost obviously to India. But tell me about that moment. Honestly, what a special, special time for you.
In that moment, I was just really grateful. Like all the hard work I put in, all the time my dad invested into me. Like he basically, my mom quit my job just to like take me around to practices, stay with me. Throughout my games, even my dad, like right after work, he'll take me to practices. He's like, I want you to be something else. Like, he doesn't want me to be a normal associate cricketer that doesn't go anywhere. He wants me to make a name for myself and show the world that there's talent in Canada and players can actually get out there and make a name for themselves and play franchise leagues around the world.
What an amazing sacrifice from your parents. I mean, and it's obviously all worked out in the end. They must be just so proud. You mentioned to me off air that you've been in India for quite some time now. Obviously, all your games for the World Cup were played in India, but you stayed behind a little bit as well. What's the family's, greater extended family's reaction to your success this World Cup?
They're just really proud. They're just telling everyone, like he's my nephew, he's my son. Like everyone's just really proud, and it's just a really proud moment for the family. Like someone in the family's actually like getting out there and people are getting to know him around the world and everyone's just really proud.
Has it been something that you've, you know, had to get used to, this spotlight now being on you? Are you liking the little bit of fame that you're receiving after your big moment, or is it a little bit overwhelming at times?
Yeah, I'm still getting used to it because I'm not used to the cameras coming into my face asking a lot of questions because I don't really like I'm a really quiet person, so I don't talk much. So when cameras just come to my face, I'm like, oh, what do I say now? So still getting used to it. It just feels great. Like, I'm just really happy that I always dreamed about this moment. Like, I want to become a cricketer and a known cricketer, and I'm just really happy about it.
When was the first selfie that someone asked you to be taken with them? Any moment that stood out to you that you were like, oh my gosh, I'm getting attention here?
I think it's right after when I made the 100, and then the next game, it was in Chennai as well, against Afghanistan. And then everyone was just like, oh, can we take a picture? Can we take a picture? And then even when we went back to the hotel, everyone was just asking for a picture. My mom was crying. She's like, this is like the moment we dreamed of. And she's just really proud.
That's so special. And the fact that your parents were there to watch you and you live that dream through with you as well and see you as a youngster, raise you, give up everything, and then to see that all their hard work has paid off in such a big way would be just a really great moment for them to experience as well.
Yeah, it was great. Like, my mom was so emotional. Like, I hope my dad was there watching the game as well, but he was back home in Canada because of some reasons. But I really wish he was there to witness the 100 that I made. Like, he was the first person to call me right after 100, and he was just like, he was really proud. He's like, this was like the moment I dreamed of. Like, there's nothing bigger than the World Cup. And he's like, this is just a starting, and now you just got to work even harder.
Talk me through that day, the what you did before the match against New Zealand. Obviously, you would know that they're a very quality side. But was there anything that you remember you did differently, or you just stuck to your routine? Walk me through the day in your life on that day that I guess your life changed.
Nothing really. Just because of the first two games, I didn't perform, and I was just thinking a lot that this is like a third game, so we have two games left, and I really got to perform in this game. And from before when we qualified for the World Cup, I have a diary where I wrote that I'm gonna score 100 against New Zealand in the 2026 World Cup. Yeah. And I used to write it like almost like every other day, every day. And I was just thinking about it that night that I'm going to write it down again. And I was just manifesting that today's my day and I just got to show the world what I can do.
Whoa. Okay. We have to talk about that. I mean, you've properly manifested that moment for yourself, but to see it come to fruition, wow. Did you even shock yourself?
Yeah, I was shocked because my sister believes in it a lot. She always tells me, write it down in a diary, like whatever you want to do, what you want to become, just write it down in a diary. And I was like, sure, why not? I'll give it a try. But I was actually surprised when I wrote it in a diary and like whatever I wrote came true. I was just really surprised. I was shocked.
And I mean, this result, it made history, not only because, you know, you're from an associate nation, but you're the youngest player in the history of a T20 World Cup to score a century. When did you find that out?
I think I found that out the next day. A lot of people told me, and I was really surprised because I think one was Shahzad Ahmed from Pakistan or Paul Sterling from Ireland. And I was just really surprised. I was just really grateful. Like, everyone was just really proud. Everyone's like, this will probably be one of the hardest records to break as being 19 playing the World Cup and scoring 100 against a really good side like New Zealand.
Now, talk to me about being part of Group D. It was a very talent-packed group, I want to say. You had Afghanistan, you had South Africa, you had New Zealand. And you also had the UAE as well. You had some tough competitions there. You unfortunately didn't win a game this tournament. But walk me through, as a side, what you felt you guys did well and maybe things that, you know, were lessons that you can improve on.
I feel like the thing we did well was we gelled well as a team. We fought well throughout the end. We tried to give them a good fight. Even the first game against South Africa, we lost a couple of wickets quite fast, but then we kept on catching up. I feel like if we play against these teams a bit more throughout the year, we can become a better team overall because we only play against associate teams. And like to play against like teams like South Africa and New Zealand like once every 2 years, it becomes quite hard. But I feel like if we play against them like couple times in a year, I feel like we'll learn a lot and become a better team.
So tell me how you and your teammates are really going to take Canada cricket to the next level. And you had the chance to qualify for two upcoming World Cups with ICC, 2028 in particular for the T20 World Cup, but 2027 as well. There's another World Cup as well that you have the chance to qualify. But how and what is the plan to take Canada cricket to the next level?
The plan is, because we got a lot of good youngsters coming up, and the plan is just sticking as a team, playing as a team, and just backing each other. I feel like that's how big teams go forward and win a lot of games. And I feel like if we stick together as a team, we'll become a better team and win more games.
Now, you're a left-handed top-order batter. How do you approach power hitting without, you know, overreaching? How do you approach it?
I feel like it's really natural to me. Like, I worked a lot on my six hitting ability, especially with my dad and my coaches. Like, that's one of the main things I really worked on. But it's really natural to me. Like, I don't try to overhit the ball. I just try to swing as natural as I can through the ball. But like, it's really natural to me. Like, I don't try to overthink it as much.
Talk to me about the Canada cricket team's dynamic. What do you like about what you guys have got going on in the group at the moment?
The moment we got a couple ODI series coming up. We have a T20 coming up in April as well. Couple series coming up. We also have GT20 that's coming back this year and Super 60 as well.
How exciting that you've got those two tournaments. I mean, I was part of the Canada Super 60 last year and a couple of years ago, the GT20. But the fact you've got two of those tournaments now that attract some of the best players in the world. I mean, You played up against some of the best players in the world, literally in this T20 World Cup, but then to play alongside some of these superstars of the game, what's that feeling like?
It just feels great. It's like a really big opportunity to learn from these big players, to see what their mindset is going playing international and franchise cricket. Like, what's their different mindsets when they go switch formats? And it's just a really big opportunity, and just really grateful to play with really big players. Like in the Super 60, played with Martin Guptill, James Vince, Piyush Chawla. Like just a lot to learn from those guys, and just how humble they are, and just how easily they play the game is just amazing.
Tell me your most intimidating or someone who's been an idol to you growing up that you got the chance to meet. Were you nervous? Did you go up and say hello and talk to them? Walk me through a situation like that.
My idol is Yuvraj Singh. I think the first time I met him was when GT20 happened the first every year. That was the first time I met him, man. I was just really nervous because, like, as a kid, I didn't really know what to say, what to ask him. And I just wanted a picture. I was with my dad, and my dad was just talking for me at that point. He's like, oh, he's a really big fan. He, like, really likes you, copies your style and stuff. And he told me to stand, like, show me my batting stance, and he signed my bat for me. And then the next day with that bat, I made 100 with the same bat in a club cricket game.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think it was all in the stance that he showed you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just me meeting him just gave me that motivation.
All right, well, it's time to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this with some Game On Icebreakers. Well, we're kind of come to this point in the episode where this is called Game On Icebreakers. Normally, I like to do this at the start of the episode just to, you know, ease things in, have a little bit of fun. But I had to just get out the World Cup conversation up top because, you know, it's just been a big moment in cricket history. So especially for you in particular, my friend. But let's get into some fun little short, sharp questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's all around competitiveness, by the way. That's the theme of these questions.
Okay.
I'm sure you're competitive, but we'll find out after this. Alrighty. So, what's something completely non-cricket that you've found yourself being way too competitive about?
I think playing basketball. Playing basketball is really competitive.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to any other sport, I'm really competitive. Like, I really want to win. And I just hate the feeling of losing.
Yeah, me too. Are you a sore loser?
Yeah. Nah, I can't be a sore loser. Nah, never when it comes to me playing my own games.
Fair enough. Okay. Have you ever gone way too far trying to win something that absolutely didn't matter?
No, I feel like I haven't. Like, I think about
never?
It. Like, I don't go too far at a point. I feel like if we're not going to win, like, then it's not meant to be. If we're going to win, we're going to win. Like, I wouldn't, like, over-try to, like, win a game or do something cheeky. Like, I wouldn't.
Okay, so if you're playing cards, maybe Monopoly, this is my, I guess, confession here. Don't tell anyone, all right?
Okay.
But in Monopoly, I sometimes strategically sit next to the banker and I take a few extra bits of cash. Never done anything like that?
My cousins do that a lot. Like, they'll never let me sit. They'll be like, yo, we can't let him sit near the bank. Then I'm just going to play normally. What's the point then of you being the banker? Because either when the person's a banker, he takes his own cash when he's playing.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, you're obviously a good sport and I'm a cheat. Okay, what is one moment in your cricket career that best sums up your competitive drive, do you think?
I'm not too sure about that one. I feel like it's me on playing when I was captain for my junior club team. Like, I always tell guys to push it through. Like, I hated losing, especially when I was captain and playing in a club league. I hated losing. I always push everyone to their limits and I'll be like, we have to win this game no matter what. Otherwise, but like I won't let you guys go home.
Fair enough. I like that energy.
Yeah.
Especially when you're skipper, you've got pressure of the team on you.
Yeah, a lot.
Tell me, who's the greatest competitor that you've ever faced?
I think it's one of my friends. Like he'll do anything for to win a game, to win anything, to win a prize. Like he'll just keep trying until he wins it. Then he'll go home. Otherwise, he'll just keep trying. Like he'll just get stuck to it.
And do you sort of take that that way with you, or did you take anything from your friend, or no? That's just how he plays, and you know how you play.
That's just how he plays. For me, I feel like I'm more of a calm person. Like, I can't really push anything. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not, then it's not.
It's going to happen. You're a lot more chill.
Yeah.
What teammate would you never want to play against in a pressure situation?
Probably my teammate. He probably retired now. Probably Ravinder Paul Singh.
Okay.
Yeah. Under pressure, because he'll just keep talking to you. And, like, when he just keeps talking to you, I feel like he'll just put more pressure on me, and he'll just be like, yo, this guy's quick. This guy's like this. I'll just tell him, yo,
like,
relax.
Stop, please. Yeah, I don't need this energy right now.
I'll just be like, relax. It's fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, growing up, when you were a kid, did you rage quit? Or were you a little bit more cool, calm, and collected and politely came back when you were frustrated about something?
So, sometimes there's been situations where I have rage quit, like where my teammates were like, just do something off and it'll just throw me off and I'll just rage quit. I'll be like, I don't want to play anymore. But usually I'll stay calm and I'll just play out through the whole game and just go home.
What's a rivalry match that instantly flips a switch inside you?
I feel like it's always when it's Canada versus USA. I feel like that's a really big game for us. And everyone's just turned on and everyone just wants to win that game, especially us. Like, everyone just tries extra hard because it's US-Canada is like a game, like how India-Pakistan means to them.
Growing up, were you the most competitive person in your family, would you say?
Yeah, I feel like growing up, I was the most competitive person in my family.
What about your dad? Is your dad competitive as well?
Yes, my dad's really competitive. He used to play cricket as well. He had his own team in a league in Toronto as well when he came to Canada. And same with him. He always used to tell me that there's only value in winning. There's no value in losing. So if you want to make a name for yourself, you got to win it.
It sounds like you and your dad are really, really close. It's so nice. So we'll definitely get into that a little bit more later on in the episode. But I'll finish a couple more. I've got a couple extra questions that I'll ask you. Are you a good trash talker?
No, not at all. Like, I won't say a word to anyone in the field unless if someone really says something to me. I wouldn't say anything back.
That's probably nice. Leave someone else in the team to do the trash talking. Who is the biggest trash talker in the Canadian side at the moment?
I think it's Shreyas Mova as the keeper. I think he talks the most trash.
Fair enough. He's closest to the batsman. Get in there, yeah. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Who's one person, maybe a friend or family member that you really hate losing to?
I hated losing to my sister's husband.
Okay. Why is that?
Like, especially if we play Monopoly or cards, like, he always find a way to beat me or beat everyone. And then I told him one time, I'm like, let's play Monopoly. If I beat you, I'm never going to play it ever again. And we played on the laptop and I beat him one time. And till this day, I haven't played Monopoly since then.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah.
You're scarred. That'll do it. Fair enough. The sibling's husband. That's so good.
Yeah.
It's time for a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back after Human Behind the Hype. All right, well, let's move into the Human Behind the Hype segment. So this is where we kind of get to know you a little bit better on a personal level. Now, it's famously known that your dad has named you after the Indian cricket icon, Yuvraj Singh. But tell me, when was that moment that you realized how much weight that name really carried?
I think I realized literally after this World Cup, like, how much it meant. and like how much the name carries. Because before, I never used to think it that way. I would just be like, okay, you named me after him and whatever. So now I actually think about it that it's like a really big thing, like me being named after him and me performing well in the World Cup and living up to that name. Like, it just feels great. And it's a really proud moment for my dad as well.
I'm sure. Did you get to have a chat to Yuvraj post the 110 score against New Zealand?
No, I haven't. The last time I had a chat with him was, I think, in Super 60.
So when you have met him those couple of times, what did the moments really mean to you? I mean, you mentioned when you first met him, when you were a kid and he taught you how to adjust your stance and you went out and got a century the next day. But every time, did it get more and more special?
I feel like it wasn't really a long conversation. Like, I really just try to listen to him like as closely as I can to what he's saying and just take it in. I always used to ask him that I really want to do a practice session with you. Like, if I ever come to India or whenever you're free, whenever you have time, like, I really want to do a practice session with you, because he's created a lot of good players like Abhishek Sharma, like Sanju Samson he worked with, and all these guys are performing well at the biggest stage. And I just really want to have like a practice session with him, like one or two times.
Absolutely. Well, shout out to Yuvraj Singh. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, hopefully.
How would you compare his game to your game? Do you really try and base how you play off him as well? I mean, you're obviously named after him, but him as a player, you obviously respect a great deal as well. So how much do you really try and base yourself off the way that he played? As we know, he's quite an aggressive player. So talk us through that.
When I was younger, I really used to try to copy his stance, like the way he bats, the way he hits the ball. But as I got older, then I realized that whatever is natural to me, like that's what's going to work out. Me copying someone else might just mess up my technique or my backflow.
How did you figure that out? Because that's quite a hard thing to sort of come to the realization of at a young age.
I think it's mainly through coaches, because they'll tell me like something will work out, something wouldn't work out. So then I just thought to myself that I want to do something on my own. Like, I want to be myself. Like, I want to keep it. Like, I want to have my own style, and I don't want to copy anyone else, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I want to talk about your family a little bit more. I mean, your dad, he immigrated to Canada before you were born, obviously, but then really introduced you to the game of cricket. But then your mum also, she gave up her job to support your dream of being a cricket superstar. So talk to me about the relationship that you have with them and why you feel, does it fuel you and the way that you play and really, I guess, drive you to have success?
My relationship with my parents, my mom and dad, I feel like it's a really strong bond between them. Like, especially when I go out to play, I always think about that. I want to make my parents proud. Like, I want to do this for them. Like, I want to make their dreams come true. And I want everyone else to know my parents as well. Like, I want their name to be out there as well. So whenever I go into the field, I always, first I thank God, then I always say that I want to make my parents proud today.
Oh, that's so special. Now, is it right to say that you were homeschooled as well to pursue your cricket career seriously?
From grade 11, 12, yes, I was typically homeschooled. Like, I used to do online school at that time because I really didn't have time to go in person, because I'll miss a lot of classes and then the teachers would be really mad. They'll be like, he doesn't attend classes, he doesn't come to school. So then I just switched to online, and then from there I just did basically homeschooling.
Did you ever doubt that decision? Was it hard to make that choice?
No, for me, I feel like it was really clear that all I want to do is play cricket. And my dad told me one thing. He's like, either you can study or either you can play. And I said, I want to play. Then he's like, then your focus should be on playing. School, you can just do it whenever, just get done with it.
Yeah, totally. Now, you describe yourself as being a more quiet person. How do you really navigate or balance, I should say, that with bringing the confidence that you need to play some of the top players in the world? And especially, you're right at the top of the order as well. Got to assert your dominance straight up. How do you navigate that?
I feel like I really believe in my ability. and my strengths, like what I can do. As even being young, I believe like I can if it's my day, I can dominate anyone, like any bowler. And I just believe in my strengths, and I just try to keep it as simple as possible and not to confuse myself.
What's your dream moving forward now? I mean, you are the youngest centurion ever in a World Cup for T20 cricket. You know, you've made the national side. You're playing with some of the best, the greats in the world. But what is the goal for you, the dream for you?
Like right now, my goal is to, like, I want to be the first ever Canadian to play in the IPL franchise league, and not only play for 1 year and play consistently. And I want to put my name in like the leaderboards with one of the, like, all of the greatest players out there and be known worldwide.
That's a pretty amazing goal. Have you got an IPL franchise that you would want to play with over all of them?
Really like Mumbai Indians, because my dad's dream for me to play with Mumbai Indians. I just really like the setup, like how they promote the youngsters and stuff. It's just really nice. But any team, like for me, I just need an opportunity to play, and any team will work.
Any team will work, fair enough. I mean, the Mumbai Indians kit's pretty flash. The blue with the gold.
Yeah, it's flashy. It looks cool on TV as well when it blings.
It does. Imagine the photos, Yuvraj.
Yeah, look cool.
Look out. Are you manifesting that?
Yeah. Write it down every day. Hopefully it comes true soon.
Exactly. You got to listen to your sister. Sisters are the wise ones of the family. Self-proclaimed yeah. Over here as well. Talk to me about your relationship with your siblings, though.
The relationship with my sister is really strong. Like, for like whatever I do, she's really supportive, especially in my cricketing career. She's been really supportive. And also her, she always manifests for me as well. Like, she's like, you're my younger brother, and I want to see you do well.
Oh, that's and really I want you, sweet.
Yeah. And she wants me to see me making a name for myself, and she's just really supportive.
That's so nice. Wow. Tell me, have you had anyone since this World Cup that's reached out or slid into the DMs that's kind of shocked you in the cricketing world?
It was a franchise league in the European T20. I had a call with Steve Waugh, and I was just really surprised. And I was like, what's happening? Like, never thought I'll be able to talk to a legend like Steve Waugh. And I was just really amazed that he wanted me to play for his team for Amsterdam Flames in the coming up tournament, European T20 League. And I was just really surprised and really grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, how exciting. So that's the next tournament that you have on the cards?
Yes.
Oh, well, good luck with that. That's awesome. Now, I'm going to ask you a bit of a random one, but tell me, do you have a comfort meal before you go out to play, or maybe the day of that you must have?
Comfort meal in the morning is usually just tea and probably like one or two cookies, and that's about it.
Masala chai, or what kind of tea?
Yeah, most likely masala chai with a bit more milk in it, not too strong.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I like that. I love a tea. There's something nice about it, but I'm a coffee drinker in the morning. Coffee in the morning, tea in the evening.
Coffee, I don't mind, but like I don't drink it as much. I feel like it's too strong. It makes me sleepy instead of making me energetic.
Fair enough. But I don't think Canada and America, I'm going to make a big wild statement, but you guys don't have very good coffee.
I don't know about that, because I'm not a big coffee drinker.
I'm going to get it to you there. Australians, we have the best coffee. We are known in the world to have the best coffee. So I am biased. But I'm telling you that you guys do not have good coffee.
I never tried coffee in Australia. I got to try it then.
Well, you got to. You got to come play Big Bash. That could be the next thing that you need to manifest.
Yeah, that would be cool. It's Big Bash and the IPL, the biggest franchise leagues out there right now.
Mm-hmm. Aim for the stars, my friend.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's one non-sporting talent that people might be surprised that you have?
Non-sporting talent. I feel like mostly all my talents into sports. Like, I can play any sport there is. But other than that, I don't really do much. Probably just go out with my friends, have some food. Probably go out.
Are you a foodie?
Yeah, I'm a foodie. Like, I like to try all different
things. Do you like to cook?
No, I don't like to cook. I feel like it's too much work.
Fair enough. I love to cook, but I hate cleaning up.
Yeah.
So As long I'll cook for someone, but I will not clean up. That's my deal. I'm like, come over, but clean.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, what's your most used app on your phone? Be honest now.
I think it's Instagram and Snapchat. Those are
the... Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a doom scroller when it comes to reels?
Yeah, and especially TikTok. I scroll a lot throughout whenever I'm just sitting
around. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm a TikTok addict.
I feel like it's a bad habit, yeah. Just be sitting down, just be scrolling.
So bad. You just waste so much time. You're like, how have I been sitting here for an hour? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
It just gets you. The algorithm traps you in.
I don't even watch the full video either. I just keep scrolling.
No, you just keep endless scrolling. It's so bad. All right, we're going to step away for a short break, but we'll return soon. So stay right there for a brand new segment just for you, Viraj. We're going to move to a new segment. This is sort of made up for you, my friend. So this is called What's in a Name, because, you know, you were named after someone that was pretty iconic. So we're going to zoom out and we're going to go into two names from two different worlds. So music, movies, history, and then you have to tell me which one you'd rather be named after and why. So okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, great. So, would you rather be named after Kendrick Lamar or Drake?
Drake.
Yeah, fair. Why?
He's a Canadian from Toronto.
He is.
Yeah.
Got to stick with the Canadian. Fair enough. I like that. Eminem or Jay-Z?
Eminem.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know, I just find him cool. The way he raps is really fast and he's just different.
So fast. And his flow too. Everything's so synchronized. It's great. He's got some awesome songs. Have you got a favorite?
No. I don't got a favorite in anything. I just listen to whatever comes. I'm not too picky about anything.
Tell me, we're going to go old school now. Elvis or Prince?
I don't know. None of those guys. Elvis or Prince.
Surely Elvis.
Probably. Not sure. Because I probably
know. Yeah, you don't know them. It's all right. We can move on. It's all good. You're going to have so many Elvis and Prince fans that will now be like, what the heck? Why do you not know these two? But fair enough. They are very out of our era. Okay. We're going to go into movies now. Denzel Washington or Timothy Chalamet?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Just because his name sounds sick. My name sounds sick. Yeah.
I don't even know who Denzel Washington is.
This is Washington. This sounds cool.
Yeah, fair.
Denzel. Okay. Yeah.
Tony Stark or Bruce Wayne?
Bruce Wayne.
James Bond or John Wick?
Can I say both?
Why not?
I feel like James Bond.
Yeah, I think you have to go with James Bond. He's so iconic. All right, we'll go to sports now. Would you rather LeBron James or Michael Jordan?
I might have to go with LeBron James.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ronaldo or Messi?
Ronaldo.
Okay, why is that? That's a big call.
I know. Mostly people, they'll be like, who do you like, Ronaldo or Messi? I'll just say Ronaldo. I don't watch soccer much, but like, I just like Ronaldo better.
Yeah, he's got a good vibe. Like, cool boy vibe. Messi seems quite quiet and reserved. Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes?
Tom Brady.
Have you seen the news about him and Alex Earl? Do you know Alex Earl?
No. I don't watch the news either.
Fair enough. Okay, we're going to finish with some history. So I hope you're up with some history. These are so random. Napoleon or Alexander the Great?
Alexander the Great.
Fair. Julius Caesar or Winston Churchill?
Julius Caesar.
Nice. Oh, well, that was good fun. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll be back right after this to wrap up the show. Now we're going to go into the final part of the episode. This is called Final Whistle. So it's quick fire, random questions, and you just answer them for me. Be prepared because they can be a bit rogue at times, but I expect honesty only, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're on. Right, what is something you've changed your mind about in sport recently?
Sport, change my mind about? Now, there's going to be a lot of haters and you can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Even when you're successful, I feel the more eyes that are on you, the more, you know, positivity you get, but also the more negativity you get. How have you learned to block that out, would you say?
Just take all the negativity out of my mind as much as I can and just stay positive and just think positive. That's probably about it. And not getting the negative things just come to my head.
Fair enough. Do you try and not read your DMs or the articles or the Twitter tweets? Do you just block all that? Or
I don't even look at my comments or none of the articles.
Good idea. That's best.
Yeah.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from a coach?
That if you work hard enough, you'll achieve your goal. If you don't work hard, you're not going to get it.
That's a great piece of advice. Do you feel like that's something that really sticks with you and you think about often?
Yeah, I feel like working hard really sticks to me because I feel like even my dad says, he's like, if you work hard, you will get your reward because there's nothing that can stop hard work. And if you keep working hard, one day you will get your reward. If it's not now, you get it later.
You're 100% right. Was there anything that you rewarded yourself with when you finally achieved that goal that you've been manifesting, the 100 against New Zealand? Did you buy yourself something? Did you treat yourself to some chocolate?
I had a chocolate cake. My mom and a couple of my friends, yeah.
Nice. God, mums are good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, which teammate would you want on your trivia team and why? Give us the intel.
I feel like Shivam Sharma.
All right. Why is that?
I feel like he's smart. He's good at acting out things and easy to tell what he's doing.
If you had a cricketing superpower, what would you wish that you had? And it's cricket-specific only superpower.
I feel like one would be reading the bowler's mind.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Only the bowler's mind?
Yeah.
Wow, I like that. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is a really good one. All right, well, what's one cricket moment you wish you could relive in your career?
Probably later on this World Cup 100.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, probably going to stick with me forever. Probably never going to forget about it.
As it should. I mean, it's in the history books forever. No one can take that away from you. Youngest to ever do it.
Yeah.
What's a dream teammate from any era that you wish that you could play with and why?
I really like to play with Virat Kohli and MS Dhoni as well.
Yeah, they'd be icons to play with. Why is that?
MS Dhoni, because just how people say his mind works, like, the way he changes the field, the way he like bats, and just the conversations he has with the players, just to see like what he does.
Yeah, and then Virat.
Just the way he scores runs, like he's not a big hitter, but like he'll make a 50, like just taking singles, and he's just a really busy cricketer, and just the way he scores runs, and his dot ball percentage is really low, and just the way he just keeps himself really busy.
Give me what your go-to karaoke song would be.
I'm not too sure. I don't listen to karaoke much.
Fair enough, neither. But do you have a favorite song that if you were going to go, if you were going to go do some karaoke, what would be your song that you had to get up on stage and sing along to? What would it be?
I'm not too sure. I don't even think I'll be able to go up on a stage and sing a song. I'll just be like, I'm good.
You're like, okay, I gotta go now, guys. Sorry, a family emergency. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I've stitched you up there. I'd probably do the same thing because my voice is horrendous. I'd have to like evacuate, so save everyone's ears. Give me what your most used emoji is.
It's probably the laughing emoji.
Okay. Are you the tilted, like the big laugh emoji, or are you just the normal plain Jane emoji?
The normal one.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a hidden talent that you have that no one knows about?
I used to be pretty good at drawing before.
Okay. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
What would you
draw? Pretty good at drawing. Just random things, probably sketch like some Marvel characters, DC characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vikings and stuff, like back in school.
Are you superstitious?
I used to be really superstitious when I was younger. Like, I'll wear this. I just started thinking that this, like, if I'm going to score runs, I'm going to score regardless. It doesn't matter what I wear. So, like, I just stopped caring.
Is there one thing, though, that you still do now that you want to confess?
What I try to do is, like, not let anyone touch my bat before I go into bat. Because a lot of guys have a habit, give me your bat.
Bad juju on the bat.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing that wouldn't let anyone touch my
bat. I don't mind that superstition, though. That's a good one. This is my bat, my rules, get away.
Yeah.
So good. What's the weirdest superstition you've come across, though?
I think some people be wearing, like, the same, like, exact same socks for a whole week, and they wouldn't wash them, and, like...
That's no good.
Yeah.
A week? Yuck, they'd be festy as.
Yeah, they'll be like, we scored runs in these, and they'll just keep wearing them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. All right, I'm going to leave you with this last one. Do you believe in luck?
Yeah, I believe heavily in luck.
Okay.
Like, I feel the day I made 100, luck was on my side. Especially when I was on 100-something, I hit it straight to Jimmy Neesham, and it just went through his hands. And I feel like if he caught that, like, I wouldn't have the highest runs in the World Cup, 110, I would have just made 100.
Well, that's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. If you loved this conversation, make sure you hit that follow button and subscribe. Tell your friends about the podcast because there's so many more episodes coming your way. We've got legendary guests coming on, hilarious debates, and obviously big stories too. So stay tuned. I'm Grace Hayden, and until next time, keep competitive.